Hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today on the podcast, I am super excited to have two Instagram boss girls with me. I have Danielle Prahl and Brittany Crystal.
So excited to be here. This has been a long time coming.
A long time coming. And for those of you who don't know these two, Brittany is a branding expert. And you've worked with some of the biggest names in the business. I love that.
Thank you.
A lawyer, right? Georgetown yes, educated lawyer.
UCLA and then Georgetown educated lawyer.
Perfect.
So I have both. I know your family is big with Georgetown and UCLA.
That's right. I trained at UCLA. I have twins that are sophomores at Georgetown right now, a boy and a girl. And Danielle, tell us a little bit about your business. Danielle Prahl is also big into the online marketing and online digital school type of scene.
Yeah, so basically I have claimed a title. I think it's really hard to kind of drill down exactly what you do. But I basically am a business mentor for 6 and 7 figure entrepreneurs who want to monetize their business online. And I'm a launch and online business expert. So I just help people who want to move into that space really like dominate online and pull all the pieces together so that they can scale their businesses.
That is awesome. And I first listened to Brittany's podcast, I can't remember when, it was a while back. Maybe I saw your name with Gary Vee or somebody, but anyway, I heard a podcast with the two of you, and you Danielle told her whole story about how she went through a whole drama with breaking up with the man, ex-husband. Oh, yeah. It was very motivational, everything that you said. You said, tell us a little bit about that, because I think most big life changes come with big life changes.
They do. It's crazy. And like, I guess, well, just to do a rundown of the story, I met this man when I was like, I don't know, 21, 22. We were together for 7 years, married for one, and then he basically disappeared off the face of the earth. I was supposed to pick him up from a business meeting, and he did not come home. And I found out that he was like a legit con man, like fake name, fake everything, and had been sentenced to jail for 14 years. So it was really
crazy.
So
that was the business meeting. He was being carted off to jail.
Business meeting. Yes, it was actually judgment day for him, I guess. And for whatever reason, he decided not to tell me. So, I mean, it's hard when you find out like everything you thought about your life is untrue, but it also gave me a really good time to be like, okay, what do I actually want to create for myself?
Yeah.
And it gave me the motivation to want to help other women never have to make decisions based on a man or finances.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like to empower women to like build their own businesses, have their own things, not have to rely on anyone.
Right.
Because I feel like women especially sometimes they're told like, oh, you better marry rich or you better do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then they don't feel like they have options,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I feel like we all should have options to do whatever it is we want to do and not have to ask for permission from anyone.
So totally yeah. true, right?
And I think that's
did
why
did you
Danielle
guys know each other then? You did not?
No, not at all. We actually met a year ago on Instagram.
Yep.
And we became fast friends, like best friends. It feels like I've known her forever. We met through a mutual photographer friend, but we were also following each other anyway on Instagram. But my whole thing is that you don't have to be on whatever path it is you're on. You can completely create the life and business you want. And now with access to the online space, you know, I was a lawyer. I was supposed to go down that safe path and I wanted to work in entertainment. I ended up working in entertainment in Hollywood, and that really wasn't right for me. I went through a series of jobs, and you know, people are like, why wouldn't you just stay a lawyer?
Mm-hmm.
In my head, it's like, why would I stay a lawyer?
Right.
If I'm not happy here,
mm-hmm.
I know. I think people have this sunk cost fallacy. They put in 3 years of time, or they put in 3 years of whatever, time or money, and they think because in the grand scheme of things, that's such a little drop in the bucket to resign yourself to something that you hate or isn't right for you.
Right.
So I ended up transitioning. I did work for Gary Vee and I've worked with Marie Forleo and these other names, and I fell in love with personal branding and this is my space now. But really what I tell everyone, it's you have every option in the world, especially if you're listening to a podcast like this, if you have access to Instagram, you can do whatever it is you want. And if you don't like that, you can transition. You can build influence in these spaces, and there really are no limits. I can't even tell you, and it gets me super excited. And so when Danielle and I talk about things and we talk about mindset, and people just need to realize that it's a possibility, because day in and day out, we're talking to people who don't even realize the potential, or they'll come to me and they'll be like, oh, I hate what I do or this.
It's like there's this club of people who have found the power of Instagram and the internet, and this other club that does not really get it yet. Yeah. And once you get it, you cannot look back. You're just like, there's a 100%. Fire. The fire's lit. You've been started on this path of like, why would you not ride the wave of this trajectory of wherever it's taken you, you know?
Yeah, we've been talking about this, you know, even earlier today, like you're doing different master classes. Everything from you can have patients coming in all the time to you can be creating online courses to you could be speaking to you can write a book, whatever you want to do.
That has been so beautiful for me because I am one of these girls that was kind of railroaded down this sunk cost life of like, yeah, you go to college, you get your pre-med, then you get your 4 years med school, then 6 years residency. Then there's so much time invested into it. And it's something I love and I'm passionate about. But
it doesn't need to be that way.
Yes, I used to be an artist. I used to love to write. I wanted to be an English major. So it's super creative now that I could do these other fun things and meet people like you guys. And, you know, putting on a Mastery of Aesthetics course was also eye-opening, like how much demand there is in the world to teach aesthetics. And people want to learn. People flew here from Australia and New Zealand and all over the country, Jamaica and England and all over America too. So it was like, now that's the power of Instagram.
And it's weird because you probably don't even realize, and this is something that's happened with me, even the business I have now was something I didn't fathom even 2 years ago, even though I knew I was starting to work for myself at that point.
Right.
But once you start trying to test those things that you actually do like, and then you realize that there's potential there and it's even working just a little bit.
Yeah.
Just opens your eyes. So now like you have a million avenues to go down.
Definitely. Yeah. And I heard Danielle and I listened to one of your podcasts last night and you said you were asking someone like, well, how would you design your ideal life? Like if you had no woulds or shoulds or have to do's, what would you do?
Yeah.
And you said all you really need in life to get started is a laptop or just a library card. It's like, you're so right. All you need is the internet and a library card and you can just create a whole entire life for yourself.
Yeah, you really can. And I like to tell people like you can have it all. Like. Yeah. I know sometimes you think like you're walking down this path and, you know, maybe you're a doctor or whatever that you can't do anything else, but it's like you can and you can incorporate it. Like even what you were talking about teaching and teaching these other people. And that's why I love the online space because instead of just the vicinity of where you are and your impact,
yeah,
it can be the entire world. So
that's
there's
so
like
crazy.
No limit of
what
you can do.
Online courses have you put on like people that we've heard of?
Oh my gosh. Jenna Kutcher is a client of mine. She is
I want to meet her. Can she come for her post pregnancy glow up?
Yes. I will tell her. I know we were actually talking about Botox once and I'm trying to convince her, but she hasn't gone down that road yet. Yeah. But she's a big client of mine. I've worked with one-on-one for a long time and obviously I've worked with other people. I've worked with Jasmine Starr, who's another photographer, and Zach Spuckler of Heart Soul Hustle, a woman named Lisa Keeker who does fitness. She helps people like transition their fitness business into memberships. And I mean, I've worked with a lot of people. Ashlyn Carter is a copywriter who has a course as well. I work with her. Uh-huh. I mean, if I thought about it, I'd have a ton of
people. Yeah. So if you're someone who's out there thinking of starting an online business, what's your advice? Just
do it.
Go for it. Throw it out in the first format available.
Well, a lot of times I think people try to make it really hard and they don't know where to get started and they start coming up with all the things that they actually don't know. Mm-hmm. And it's like you figure them out by doing them. And obviously there's people like me, if you have the resources that you can hire to help you, of course, and that will give you a leg up. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, just like get it done. Get it out there, like make it happen. And that's how you learn. And that's how you will be successful. Yeah. It's like you don't say, oh, I'm going to study ice skating for 6 years before I go out and try it. Like you just put on the boots and you get out there and you figure it out. Like,
exactly.
That's my advice.
Stumble and fall. I heard some good advice, which was someone said, just release version 1.0 as fast as you can and then follow it right up with version 2.0.
Like, it's
that's
true.
How you
100%.
Do it.
And that's that's our attitude. And I think it gets easier over time. And it's not about failing fast. It's just about getting something out there and then iterating it.
Fine tuning it, fixing it.
It's not like, I think that's the thing. It's this mindset thing that everybody's watching you. And I always say that people give a shit about you, but they also don't give a shit about you.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the day, people are invested in their own self-interest. So nobody knows if you launch something and it doesn't go great, nobody knows.
Life
like,
goes on.
Just make it better. Like, what'd you learn? Let's go again.
Yes, that's what we're doing for version 2.0 of my masterclass. Yeah. No more audiovisual glitches this time.
Well, and
technology. That was not even in our hands, but we still learned a lot from that.
And people are way more forgiving. Like, they want to learn from you, and let's say you did have a glitch. This is our first time. Like, you know, like, whatever, you're in it together. And then the next time, they're stoked. And then
even better, we still got rave reviews. And I felt like it just, in a way, made it more spontaneous. And we had to laugh. We just had to go with it. So it worked.
And that's also something with content, too. I'm sure you probably don't worry about every Instagram post you put up now. You probably don't sweat it.
So true. I think when you're starting out on Instagram, you fret the small stuff and you got to style it. And now I'm just like, as long as my hair is not too crazy, I'm just posting.
It's true. Right? Getting something, I hate to say it, and obviously with courses, like, you want something good that is valuable, but people will give you feedback. But with everything else, it's like, it's better to have subpar content out than nothing
no
at
content.
All.
I totally agree. If you had to think about the top 10 things that you would give for advice for people starting out on Instagram or not knowing, like, the true power, what would you guys come up with? Because I have to give this lecture in Monaco.
Oh,
in a
yes.
week at the Monaco. Anti-Aging International World Congress.
Oh, you're going to meet Ingrid, right? I think I saw that.
Ingrid Delamar?
Yes,
I'm
love
so
her.
Excited. She's another person that I've met through Instagram, which will be really fun.
Yeah, I'm trying to set up an interview with her because, she
knows. She has an amazing story, too. She's a girl who was arrested, put in jail, went through fraud charges.
I just love her attitude.
Oh,
Me
my
too.
Gosh.
I had her on my podcast, and I was like, I don't know. I just think she's fantastic. But
she really is.
Instagram, 10 tips we would give people getting started.
Or five. We can start with five.
Well, I have my, like, brand clarity thing. Basically, like, in my head, there's always three laws. And I know we'll probably talk about LinkedIn a little bit. But I always look at every platform the same. You know, kind of the way you were just describing a face. Like, you look at certain things and then as a whole. So for me, the most important thing in general is clarity. Like, what are you... If I go to your profile, what do you do? What's the message you're communicating? I want to know immediately. Like, if you're a dermatologist or a plastic surgeon or whatever it is, I don't want to see, like, you're a dog mom, you're a Libra, you're all of these things, and I don't know you're a doctor. So it depends what your goal is, but it's getting clear on who you are inside and making sure that that's translated to the outside.
Right.
For me, that includes the audience, your why. Like, why are you posting on Instagram?
Okay.
People don't ask themselves enough questions. So, like, my process getting clear on brand is super intense. People feel like it's therapy. It's also the mindset piece where you just have to get it out there. It's not going to be perfect. You cannot sweat the numbers.
Right.
That is huge for Instagram. They're going to change the algorithm. It doesn't matter. You putting out content is going to help you put content out on other platforms. Make it good. Hone your voice. People are so scared to put themselves out there that they don't even bother learning how to give their own opinion, which is so crazy. So the voice structure. Then the second thing is consistent content. You need to be consistent. Even if just people need to know when to expect you, and it needs to be also about what they should expect you for. That's how you grow the influence. Influence
That's
is
true.
The loyalty and that trust. So consistent content, and then the community. The easiest way to grow, and the way that most people grow to, you know, the hundreds of thousands, the millions, all of those things, it's from going out and engaging with the people who you'd want in your ideal audience, and then having that content that's there for them to look at after you do. It's not having them come to you. People do the thing where they leave the post up and they use the hashtags and then they're waiting for people to show up. It's like, no, you need to go engage with them first and then they can find you. So it's that level of work and exchange. And those to me are like the big ones. And then the thing that I always tell everybody is about the 1,000 true fans. I don't know if you've read that essay or heard of it, but Kevin Kelly wrote this essay, and basically it's true. If you have 1,000 true fans who will buy whatever it is you put out, and let's say you charge them $100 for whatever, take taxes off the table for a second, that's $100,000. And for most people, a six-figure thing is a huge dream for them.
Right.
But you don't need millions of followers.
You don't need this.
Like, what do you actually want to be doing that you can do consistently, that you can get across, that makes you feel good.
Right.
And that to me is success on any social platform.
You're right. 1,000 loyal followers will keep you more busy than you can keep up with.
100%. And then you can find, those are the people you want to ask, what do you need? What other services?
Right.
What other things? And if they'll buy from you once, they're more likely to buy from you again.
Right. And so. It has to be fun. Instagram can't be just work because that gets old so fast. If you're not enjoying and you're not expressing yourself and you're not joking around, having a little fun with it, and just you can't be all professional brand image, although I love the idea that you project a certain unique image. But I also think you have to laugh and have fun with it.
I think you do too, and I know Danielle probably has some perspective on this, but my thing was, listen, I went to serious schools. I know I'm a serious business person, but I'm also, I don't take myself too seriously. I don't feel like I need to post pictures of me like smiling, and it needs to be only in like light pink and white tones, and it needs to be this very curated. It's shit I like.
Yes.
I want to post things that I like that I know can be valuable. Yes, yes, it's about them and it's always about them, but it's not about me putting up this like image. It's what I want to do too.
Yeah,
exactly.
It should be. Like, I always say, obviously, be authentic. Like, you want to be authentic. I think we're all sick of seeing the perfectly curated.
It's too hard not
like,
to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, just be authentic because that will stand out. And it's not that hard to try to be authentic. Like, you are who you are and incorporate all of it. Like, I think that's very important. And I say, like, excuse my language, but fuck the grid. Like, people need to stop being so worried about the grid. Like, it doesn't need to be perfectly whatever. Like, if I'm scrolling through my feed and I see your photo, like, that's all I'm going to look at. If I go to your feed, I'm not like, is this a nice grid? Oh, this color scheme is off. Like, I don't even think about that.
I'm so over that.
I'm over it, too, and people shouldn't be worried about that anymore. Like,
I do want my pink gloves.
I like the pink gloves.
But that's just a brand element.
You know, your pictures don't have to be perfect. Like, yes, you should worry a little bit that you can see what's in the picture. Like, I see dimly lit ones of people's dogs sometimes, and I'm like, I can't deal with this. But it doesn't also have to be completely perfect. I think, like, just get it up, say something interesting, show people about your life. Like, especially if you're using it for business, some people make the mistake of literally just posting about nothing but business. But it's like, people want to fall in love with you as a person, and that's when they give a shit about what you have to say. Like, I want to know if you have weird quirks. I want to know why you wear the pink gloves. Like, I want to know how you got into this. I want to know if you have a family. Like, I want to know about those things, and you're allowed to, like, it's
you want to it's round your out the feed. Picture.
And that comes with people, you know, once you're clear about who you are, then people get curious. Yeah. And I think that's something, actually, just for the audience to know, you're obviously an expert in your field. But there's a lot of people who wait until they feel like they're an expert, and you rarely feel like you're an expert, and people shouldn't wait. If you're younger and you're just getting started, you just need to be kind of documenting that process. And just because you've become one type of thing, you can transition into something else. And I just really feel like, I don't know if this is true or not, but even from listening to our podcast and consuming our content, Danielle and I probably are very similar to exactly the way you thought we would be.
Yes, very, like, very, actually.
Like
very
that's, to me, the best kind of personal brand. Mm-hmm. Like, that's who shows up. Like, you don't get someone completely different. We didn't show up and we're like, oh, we don't do this.
Yeah. No, you're very true to who you are in your brand. And I like the down-to-earthness of it. I still feel the 20 and 25-year-olds are into the perfect picture scheme and the exact layout and the cute three-word saying at the end of the post, but like,
but that's, you know, that's just like the age, trends, I guess. And and I think as you get older, you get more comfortable.
Yeah.
As somebody who is a mother, this is just me asking you, do you notice a negative effect at all of social media? And
totally, everyone is addicted, including myself and my children. Like, they're scrolling constantly till their thumbs fall off or till the battery dies. It's just such. I have to tell myself repeatedly, I want to create content more than consume it. So like that rule of create 5 times more content than you consume every day is awesome. And if I can first create my Instagram content and then scroll a little to unwind, that's the best way for me. Because otherwise, once I start scrolling, I don't know, it just feels like it keeps going.
It's a mindless. We're going into a point where I think we just need to teach, and I don't know if it's going to be in school or how it is, but mindful digital consumption.
Limits. Like,
there's no way
we
to
need
avoid
limits.
It.
Yeah.
There's actually a really amazing woman that I actually am going to have on the podcast soon that I was in contact with through a business group thing, but her sole practice is she's a doctor. She studies social media effects on children.
Wow.
And like she's spoken for Apple and all these people, but I find it really interesting in teaching them how, because it's going to be a part of their lives, but how to consume it responsibly, like when to balance it, when to cut it out, how it affects the brain. Like, it was super interesting to me. But I feel like when we were younger, like, yeah, you'd get bullied by other girls, sure, at school, but then you could go home and it stopped.
And now I feel like it
is nonstop on social media.
I was also having the conversation about, and I know we're in an aesthetics practice right now, and I think aesthetics are important to for so many reasons, and we can talk about that. But before, you know, maybe you saw, you know, you're a teenager, that's an awkward time. Maybe you're looking at a magazine, maybe you're online, and maybe you go to a movie and you see beautiful celebrities on TV. But now it's like everybody with Facetune and everything, like everybody looks perfect all the time, and you're looking at it and looking at it and looking at it during these formative years when really people don't even look like that.
That's so
true.
And so
I'm curious what's happening. Like, not a doctor, but I know it has to be doing something.
It's driving a lot of the consumption of people wanting to do injectables and preventative aging changes and
facial
contouring.
Which I think is positive, but there's that negative side to it that I don't know if you feel compelled to educate on. Or
I always do. We get these DMs from people who send us this message about how horrifically damaged their faces are, and they're so asymmetric, and you read the whole message and you're expecting to see like an ogre face, and then it's this very cute, pretty girl who sends their picture, and we always reply back that you're so beautiful, you have all these great features. Like, yes, everyone has asymmetry. There's not a face that walks in here that doesn't have asymmetry. And we have, you know, it's the one in a million face that's a perfect, symmetric, supermodel face. The rest of all of the models are coming into my office. So I just want everyone out there to understand that it is the norm in the media now, on television, film, magazines, models. Everyone is getting their face contoured. In case you didn't know, girls, it's true. It's true. They're all in here. They're all getting it done. It's not always just microneedling. It's not always just vitamin drips and lasers. And we keep everyone's secrets safe because you should feel comfortable to disclose who you are to the world. And if you don't, I'm sad for you because that's maybe just your own immaturity. Like, it's face maintenance. Of course I'm going to take care of my face. I take care of my teeth every 6 months. Why would I not take care of my face?
People work out. A lot of people do their hair every month or every 6 weeks.
Yes, so like you're entitled. Your beauty is your definition. And if you don't maintain your face, then I think that is not a good message for us to teach our young women. Beauty, confidence, you know, attractiveness, and you're just the way you project yourself into the world, your brand. It matters. It really does.
Have you seen a shift at all in openness for people to disclose what they're doing?
Yes. We saw Jenna Ushkowitz, who was an actress on Glee yesterday, and she did a really nice post on why the social stigma. Like, you know, many of my really powerful, strong women understand that this is what I do, like it or don't like it. I do it for myself. I don't do it for you. And I look good. I feel better about it. So why should I not do it?
But it does increase confidence. Yeah. So much.
Tenfold. Right? Little things make a difference.
It does, but I feel like there was almost like this attitude, and maybe this is just me going back like to the woman thing, that like you're selfish for wanting to do things that maybe aren't like necessary by medical purposes, but it's like, what, like we were talking
actually,
about.
We talked about
like,
this. Yeah, we should bring that up about the body shaming the other way.
Yeah. Yes, that's so true.
So
it's like I want to make it more about self-care and preventative maintenance care. Like twice a year, take care of your teeth. You need to take care of your face. You should not feel like you're taking away your children's tuition money because you got your face done. Like,
well,
I'm sorry, your kids want
better.
You to have teeth. They want you to, yes, don't they?
Yeah.
They won't criticize you for getting dental work to maintain so your teeth last 90 years. But so why not your face?
I agree.
Yeah.
And I think, like, we were talking about, like, I don't think there's anything wrong with me, like, aesthetically. Like, it's not from a negative standpoint. But if there's something that you can do for yourself to improve what you have or to keep it up.
Yes.
Like, why would you not want to do that?
On that note, I'm going to put some Botox in your face right now.
Perfect.
Is that okay?
Make me beautiful.
Shall we do a little time-lapse video?
Oh, yes.
For those of you listening at home, you can't see me now, but Danielle, go ahead and frown like you're mad. She definitely has some vertical lines on the forehead.
And don't listen to her. I have no lines.
No lines. Perfect. Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Those are her little corrugators, and those are vertical bands. We call those the number 11s. Frown again. In her case, she has like almost three of them, so 111.
It's a lucky number.
You're up to 111.
Yeah. Yes. Raise your brows up high, and I'm going to do Botox for her brow and around the eyes, and I love Botox because it softens the lines. It prevents crow's feet and crinkles. Go ahead and smile. And I think you're going to really love the way I do Botox because I do a micro droplet technique.
Ooh.
Really precise placement. I recommend you see a specialist. People think, like, I'm getting Botox, like I'm ordering a cheeseburger. It doesn't all come out the same. You have to actually have really intricate knowledge of muscles and anatomy. And I like to give you lift plus an open look. So go ahead and frown like you're mad. And have you guys heard of Xeomin, Dysport, Botox, all of them?
Do you like, I guess, which is your favorite?
I don't have a favorite, but I currently use a lot of Xeomin. And I will always chat with people about, like, you know, the benefits. Xeomin is great because it has less purified proteins. It's about 10 times purer than regular Botox, in case you didn't know that.
I did not.
I did not know that, but I heard that people are, seems like there's a swing towards Xeomin recently. I heard that maybe it takes... Is it a shorter activation time, too?
No, it takes about a week to work. It'll take a week to kick in and start working. Raise your brows up for me. Good. And it lasts the same. It costs the same. It starts working the same. The only difference being that when they came out with that formula, they purified it 10 times more, filtering some of the accessory proteins. So it's a different molecule. They are all slightly different. It's like Pepsi and Coke. And I just want people to try. You know, you kind of have to try each, and then you'll be able to see exactly which one works best for you. Dysport works faster. That's what you're thinking of is Dysport. Go ahead and smile for me, and we're gonna do crow's feet. And I like to do a really natural crow's feet because this is one of the muscles that when you crinkle your eyes, you look happy and you look genuine in life. And if you look really blank and no expressions, then people don't trust you. We want you to be trustworthy.
So yes. What's the best way to, I guess, to keep eyes young, and also probably the neck, is that where that shows up a lot?
Yes,
neck and hands.
All of us in social media are getting the worst necks ever. It's crazy.
Tech neck.
Yeah, I want to protect the neck, I want to protect my hands, and I want to make sure my eyes look good.
Raise your brows up high as they go. Open your eyes for me, and then relax down. So for your neck, I mean, as much as we can to not be looking down all the time, you got to try my neck cream. It's pretty awesome. It's my neck refirming therapy. And I also love Thermi, which is our radio frequency laser that tightens the underground skin and gives lots of elastic recoil here. So it makes that loose little bit of jelliness tightens it up really nicely.
Ooh.
You can do a couple sessions of that, three to six sessions. It works great. Go ahead and frown one last time. Perfect. And then we will be all done. And after Botox, you shouldn't lay down for about 3 hours. Which I know mothers never get to nap, so no worries
about that.
You don't
have to worry about that, yeah.
Okay, go ahead and smile.
Did you formulate your own neck?
Yes, I have my own skincare line. So for your neck, I love my neck refirming therapy, and it's twice a day, upstrokes always. When you're putting products on your neck, you want to do upstrokes. It has really great peptides and firming ingredients, and I started my whole skincare line. It's grown a lot this year. It's grown crazy. And I gotta have you guys try it.
I'm in.
Yeah, Danielle, I was noticing you do have a little photo damage on the left side, your driver's side, so we definitely will do some maybe like vitamin C or the bleaching pads. Actually, tell me, you said after pregnancy you got a little melanin on your upper lip.
Yeah, it's just like slightly darkened, which I know is like completely normal and it's nothing that like super bothers me, but like, yeah, let's get rid of it.
See, that's the thing is like, I know Danielle super well, and she's super confident, but it's those little things that it's like, if you can make it better, why not?
Life.
Yeah, it's not going to make me lose sleep at night, but if you can improve things, why wouldn't you want to, you know?
Yeah, I think that'll look great on you. And you use those bleaching pads like morning and night. Nighttime is best, actually, so every night at bedtime for 6 to 8 weeks, and they have prescription vitamin C, hydroquinone, kojic acid, arbutin. They're great for anywhere on the body. So I know you'll love that. And what do you want to try, Brittany, today?
We'll have to...
We're doing Botox and cheeks for Danielle. You guys, we have to do a good before and after picture. Josh, will you take one picture? Yes.
Yes. All the photos.
will get me back in the chair and take another peek at what's today.
I have never done my cheeks before, so I'm very excited.
Super excited for you to do it.
Do you need to get closer?
You can put your microphone down for 1 second for the picture. So you're going to feel a little quick pinch. I'm using Radius, which is calcium hydroxyapatite. This is a material that lasts 12 to 18 months. It's not dissolvable, so there are some patients who say, well, what if I want to change or adjust it? Then I say, this is not the right filler for you, and let me go get a different one. So what are your thoughts on that?
I trust you.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. And generally, patients really love the results with this. So you're going to feel a little quick sting and a funny crackle. And I'm able to contour, lift, and support the cheek in a really beautiful way. And it's going to look, for the first 3 to 4 days, a little cheeky. That's the fun phase. And then it goes down. Then you miss those nice cheeky big apples. And then it's kind of just right around 4 to 5 days. So, but very often you have like
looks beautiful.
Big apple Ooh. Cheeks for a few days. So, and I know when you came in here, you were all about different area of the body, and I sort of talked you into cheeks, but I think you'll see huge improvement. Sorry, a little pinch and a little
sting.
It's okay,
just like surprises me.
I know, I'm sorry. And it's going to give you like a slimming look, actually. Ooh. If the cheeks are placed correctly, we get a beautiful slimming effect where the contour of the cheek comes up, looks really pretty. And that's one of the best benefits. People are very scared to get their cheeks done because they feel like they already have cheeks. They don't want big, round LA cheeks. But I think that looks just super lifted, pretty, a lot less heavy. I think there's a lot of filler fear in the world out there. Like, on the one hand, Botox is everywhere, right? Everyone's doing Botox, but not everyone wants to start doing filler. So I'm also out to change the stigma against filler.
I think there's people out there who don't necessarily know, not you, but other people don't know what they're doing, especially with like under eye areas or sensitive-ish areas.
It's easy to tell bad work, and sometimes when you see good work, you don't necessarily know that someone's had it done, so it makes it even scarier, I think, for people, because they're like, oh, like...
Very true. I won't remember that I did somebody's cheeks sometimes. It's been a while, and I just think, wow, they have really nice cheeks, and they'll say, yeah, you did my cheeks. So like, it should look that natural that even I forget that those were the cheeks that we placed. But I love how this looks. Let's show you in the mirror.
Can't wait to see.
Yeah, do we have a mirror? Oh, right here. Yeah, you can grab that.
Wow.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
Yeah, so soft, lifted, kind of nice model hollow right there.
Yes.
Do you like that?
You did what I've been trying to do with contour makeup for months.
So, Brittany, tell me your thoughts on people getting filler or Botox and, you know, what's the word on the street? You work with all these big people. Gary Vee needs Botox, by the way.
He does need Botox.
He doesn't sleep.
I'm sorry, Gary.
I have messaged him.
But he is very confident in himself. You know, I'm like, you know, everyone has that little touch of vanity. There's, even Gary has, and I think he can admit to this, an angle he doesn't really love. Uh-huh. But so the difference, working with, you know, men versus women, yes, that style works better, kind of the like Gary Vee reality style, like the run and gun, works better for men oftentimes than women, because women do want that, you know, that look. I think a lot of men in general don't want to admit that they would like a little Botox or that they need a little, especially entering into, you know, their 40s or early 40s. You do lose facial volume.
You definitely do. And so you have to make up the lost volume.
So, but I think for the most part, you can't really avoid the aesthetics. It's really hard, and Danielle and I talk about this just in general, it is really hard to, especially in our society, you see yourself on camera all the time, even if you're not like a professional and you're talking just into Instagram stories, like you're using these filters, you're seeing this improved skin, and I think people just want what they see in the filter.
That's so true, yes.
And so it's like, how do you achieve that without help? And people shouldn't have to feel bad about themselves. And I think that, like I said, if there are little tweaks, definitely women are more attuned to the fact that they can have filler and that sort of thing. And then, like Danielle was saying, there is a contingent of people who, and I think like you were saying, they don't understand what the difference is with filler and like Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, that girl got her lips done. That's Botox.
Right.
It's like they don't understand like the difference between a Juvederm or whatever, you know, whatever's yeah. coming out now. Like a Restylane and Silk, like whatever it could be or whatever's new at the time.
They so definitely I think it's education. Need to do their homework for sure. You should do a little homework before you get products placed in you.
And I think people don't necessarily do that homework. And it's great that you actually know what you're talking about and you're blowing up on Instagram. And you have this big audience. But just because you're blowing up on Instagram doesn't... People still need to do their homework despite the fact that you have a large audience. Like, yeah. regardless.
They you
need
should to learn on your own, like, about your face, what's exactly. changing. It should be part of, like, in sixth grade health education classes. Like, they teach all this stuff about sex ed, but they don't teach about, like, self-maintenance, how to not, you know, how yep. to survive being depressed, how to wash your face, how to do the basics, like, but how your face will change. Like, it shouldn't be a surprise to any of us that... to know that in your 30s and 40s you're going to get facial volume loss. Like, why do they not teach us that in school? Why should it be a surprise that we age? You know, but you see that in thing. Old people, but you don't realize that it's coming for you. So it's not, it would be nice if we educated everyone better about, like, these are normal facial changes, and it's great that we have the tools. Like, our moms had Oil of Olay.
Yep.
And that's, what else do they have? Noxema. And that Noxema, was it.
Yes. But my mom is like, you know, my mom takes care of herself. Gorgeous. I can't even tell you how like just on top of her shit my mom just is in general, but she's like, this is such a great time, you know, even to be aging in this way, because you don't need to go and get a facelift, you don't need to do all of these things,
right?
You can actually educate yourself and take care of it just in a little, you know, in an hour on an afternoon, and beautiful. And feel better about yourself. And
well, we have like thunder, lightning, yep. and ambulances in our yes. in our podcast today, so it's a special podcast to have you two here.
You get all the things.
How do you like your new cheeks?
They look gorgeous.
They look fabulous.
They're beautiful.
Yeah.
Does it take you 5 years back? I think
seriously,
it does.
Seriously, it does.
Totally does.
I actually don't think my cheeks ever looked this good, to be honest with you, but they do look fantastic.
It lifted a little bit of your lower face jowling. So when I do cheeks, that's one of my goals, is number one, to get that model hollow. Number two, to lift some of any jowling, lower face fullness. And number three, it helps with the eyes. So those are all the reasons. It's all about the cheeks first for beauty, for me, anyway.
Yep.
Makes sense, because yeah. it completes I'm excited. The whole package.
Yeah, and Brittany, I'm excited to learn about LinkedIn a little bit. Do you two yes. want to switch places?
Let's do that.
Well, LinkedIn is, I feel like probably most of your audience isn't even using LinkedIn, and I've been on a crusade to tell people that it's literally the easiest place to build brand online right now and grow influence. The algorithm is super friendly, yes. And it comes up, when people Google people, LinkedIn's been around forever. It's been around longer than Facebook. It's been around longer than everything.
Mm-hmm.
And when people Google you, it comes up. It usually comes up in the first three search results.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like people are going to see it. Why wouldn't you put out something that you want to put out? They introduced, basically LinkedIn has changed in the last 2 years since they got acquired by Microsoft. And it's the friendliest algorithm. You can reach any gatekeeper you'd want.
Really?
Yeah, videos blowing up. Content can be the length of a tweet or a 30-second video. It's a fraction of the time that it takes you to be posting on Instagram.
Right.
It's just like benefit after benefit after benefit.
She told me about it originally. I will never forget this. We were sitting by my pool, and she was like, yeah, you know, you need to be using LinkedIn. And I was like, yeah, I'm not looking for a job. Like, I'm self-employed, so I don't need to use it. And she was describing to me, like, how any business could use it and the ways that she would, like, recommend right. them doing it. And I have a friend who runs like a bar locally, and she was like, he should be reaching out to people and saying, like, I'm holding happy hour and I'm doing this. She was like, literally any business could be using it. And I was like, I never thought about that. And all of the people who were maybe in jobs, even if you're self-employed, for people like me who are helping others monetize their businesses online, they're on LinkedIn because they were employed and now they don't want to be. Like, you mm-hmm. can reach anyone.
It's not just B2B. It's also B2C. All these bloggers are spending all of this time tagging people on Instagram. How about literally every person that works at the brand that you want, from the intern all the way up to the CEO,
mm-hmm.
they're on LinkedIn and their attitude is networking. Why wouldn't you impress them with your actual business knowledge that way too? Like, mm-hmm. you have access to them, you can have real conversations, and you're not just gambling on hoping that they see your content. Like, you can be so much more.
Yeah.
And it's really not, like I said, let's say you posting three times a week there is great. And it can be the length of a tweet, it can be a short video, it doesn't need to be this like stressful caption and the perfect photo.
Like, it's a lot less pressure than Instagram.
There's just,
I think LinkedIn just has a little bit of a boring reputation. That's the problem.
That's the thing, is the reputation.
It's like the work.
But that's also why, if you realize that right now,
You'll be ahead of the game.
The world's your oyster. I'm like, the white space is there. Like, this is happening, and the people who know that it's happening and that I'm telling telling them it's happening are killing it.
Wow, it's like, that's so interesting. Why
wouldn't you? It's like it's shooting fish in the barrel. Like, it's great. So,
I love that. I love that you've like thought out of the box and went back to the basics. Because like, yes.
Well, I just saw it happening because I'm, you know, I'm platform agnostic, meaning I need to know how to build brand everywhere.
What did you guys think when Instagram died lately?
I was freaking out. I texted Brittany and said, did someone delete my Instagram? What's happening? But at the same time, like, you have to realize this is a business, and when they make changes, it affects things. And I think that, like, obviously they don't want their platform to go down. They're not making money if people aren't using it.
Right.
But at the same time, I think that obviously sometimes you grow past a standpoint that you were ready for. And that's when things like that can happen. But I also feel like that's why
you diversify.
Yeah, you can't put all of your eggs in.
It's a good teaching lesson.
Yeah, you can't put all your eggs in one basket. Like, you need to create your own thing so that as the tides change, you can still rebuild or pivot or whatever it is you need to do.
Exactly.
And you should have, I mean, I try not to overwhelm people with the idea because a lot of the people I work with are entrepreneurs or people who are busy working, and, you know, content marketing just seems like another pain in the ass. So yeah, like, if you want to focus on two different platforms, but if you can start growing the email list and maintaining at least your own website and have your own, just your own presence to like where people can find you, it's worth it.
Okay, I'm going to have you look upwards with your eye. So while this boss girl is chatting away, I'm doing her under eye filler. She's like not making a beep about it.
I know.
I got a mission.
She has a high pain tolerance.
Seriously, put your chin down a little bit. So you might feel some funny crackles, and this is a great treatment, under eye filler, if you guys haven't tried it and you're feeling just a little tired, a little hollow. It's very hydrating. It just adds this lovely, I think almost like a Photoshop effect where you can hide the veins, hide the hollows, and just freshen you up really nicely. It does take a week or two to settle in fully. Are you having any pain right there?
No pain.
Okay, perfect. Perfect.
It's your real life Instagram filter.
I know, I've been dreaming about this.
Yes, if you're someone who has to wear concealer all the time and you're really tired of that, an under eye filler is the way to go.
That's hard. I mean, is there anything else you can do for like those, you know, the wrinkles that start happening in the...
Well, laser treatments. And then I just want to emphasize that mostly people get crepiness and volume loss. And when the volume is lost is when the skin starts to crinkle. So Botox is great for crow's feet. But for volume loss, we definitely want to add a slight touch of filler. And it has to be ever so slight. There's so too many ladies walking around with bulginess under their eyes.
I see that.
Yeah. I had a friend who got it done, and it wasn't the best work, and it made it worse.
It can. So we have to go ultra. I'm using a micro droplet technique. I'm just going super, super subtle. I'm going to be speaking at this global consensus meeting on under eye tear trough filler, so I'm so honored to give my opinion and my techniques and stuff, but I think it takes years of perfecting this technique. And there's a certain percentage of people that are a little swelly, and those are the people that, you know, they have chips and margarita and the next morning their eyes are puffy. So if you're one of those people, you gotta be super careful, not too much salt, just kind of keep it easy, do some massage. And
I have engagement photos this weekend, so I want to look like 20 years younger than my fiance.
Wow.
You're not kidding. You're kidding, right? No. Congratulations. Let's take a look in the mirror and we can see how that looks.
That looks fantastic.
See, your reaction means it looks fantastic. Oh, shit.
It looks like you just had a nap.
Woo! That's much brighter, right?
I love it.
Looks really bright and hydrated. I'm going to
do it. This woman is an expert.
She is fantastic.
It looks really good. I'm going to put some Botox there.
Biggest thing that I think I just want to get across that I've been feeling recently, and I think Danielle maybe is feeling that way too, is that, well, one that we talked about, that you can really be doing anything you want and that there are no rules. But something that we talk about is that business people and business doesn't need to look the way anybody else says it looks or your brand. You can be sexy, you can get work done, you can not get work done, you can do whatever it is you want and you'll be taken seriously and find an audience. You don't need to conform. It sounds crazy, but you truly don't need to conform to anyone else's idea of your business or your brand or what you want to do in life.
Mm-hmm. And when you don't, you stand out more, I think. You know, like I was taking branding photos with our photographer friend recently, and I had on like this white shirt and like you could see my black bra, and she was like, oh, is that too sexy for your brand? And I was like, I am my brand and I'm sexy. Mm-hmm. So that's just going to be part of it, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
You got to own it. You should own all parts of yourself. And I think one of the biggest things that anyone can do, which we've talked about on multiple occasions, is work on your mindset.
Yeah.
Like every day, because we have, like you were saying, like a physical practice. You take care of your teeth, you take care of all these things, but you really have to spend the time getting your head in a good place mm-hmm. before you go out into the world or do these things, because there's so much noise in the world, and a lot of the noise that holds us back does come from ourselves. Like, mm-hmm. I can't do that because, or I'm not good enough, or I'm not the expert yet, or I'm not large enough.
Yeah, imposter syndrome of just yes. thinking, like, am I even an expert? Yeah.
And we all go through it. I mean, yes. obviously, but and you think that when you get to a certain level of success that that goes away. It yeah. doesn't. It's just a different level, and you get used to moving through the fear faster. And I think that the biggest antidote to combat fear is always action.
Yeah. That's so true. Like when you sit and perseverate and look at your phone and you don't get any done work done, or when I'm going through emails and nothing's getting accomplished. I just want to get up and do things. So true. And even the most successful people have coaches.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they do.
They are the ones that actually need the most coaching because their brains are so strong and opinionated that they tear themselves apart. Actually, we all do that.
I've done more educating. As I grow my business, I've been learning more and consuming more and needing to learn more from people because you do need to keep growing.
Yeah.
I think that's something people don't consider. They think that they're done with school when they're done, and then that's why they get stuck where they are.
What's your favorite podcast right now?
Favorite podcast right now?
To put you on the spot. You too, Danielle too.
Well, I love Danielle's. Let's see, what is my favorite podcast? You go first.
Okay. Well, obviously, I'm not just saying this because you said mine, but your podcast, Beyond Influential, like Brittany is amazing at interviewing people. And I think that that is what makes a good interview is they bring out the best. They have interesting topics. And then it's not at all business related for the most part. But Ingrid Delamar Kenny's podcast is amazing, pardon my French, and she talks about health and body and following your intuition and screw the dieting rules. And I think that's a really good message for people because we're in this society that's like, what's the next fad diet? I'm gonna do keto now, I'm doing this now, oh now it's low carb, whatever. And it's like when you start intuitively eating real foods and listening to your body, that's when you're going to look good, not following the next trend or taking some weird keto diet, whatever, and starving yourself. It's about enjoying life and also taking good care of yourself. So I really have been enjoying hers a lot.
Totally, totally agree. And favorite app besides Instagram?
Oh my gosh, that's a hard one. Probably, to be honest with you, this is not a fun answer, but I have a video app that's connected to my baby monitor that I absolutely love, so I can see my daughter.
Well, tell us for the moms out there.
When she's sleeping, it's fantastic. It's called G, and it's just a little camera, but I know that Nest makes them too, and it's fantastic.
Oh, awesome. That's great. How about you, Brittany? Any favorite apps that we should be...
Well, I mean, I'm all on social. So for me, LinkedIn and Twitter. I love Twitter. I think Twitter is undervalued. Do you use Twitter at all?
I send out stuff on as tweets, but I'm not really in the Twitter mode. So
in terms of just like knowing what's going on,
it's helpful.
It is where I get my news.
Yeah,
it's super helpful. So I'm always checking it.
Well, it's been so much fun having you guys on the podcast. I can't thank you enough for all your great ideas and motivation, and I'm definitely coming to both of you for branding expertise, LinkedIn, and online marketing courses. We're going to set up my Mastery of Aesthetics course, and I would love all your help. And I can't wait for all of my followers and listeners to go check out your websites and your podcast, because you two girls motivated me from like all the way across LA, dragged you all the way out of here. I'm so glad that you came in.
It's totally worth it.
Yeah, thank you for having us. It's fantastic what you can do with these crazy social media apps now. I mean, we're sitting here getting our face injected and we feel like we trust you because of Instagram.
That's true. You thoroughly researched and vetted me and knew who you were coming to, and I knew exactly what kind of people you were, and I love that. So all of you girls, where can people find you, Danielle?
Obviously my website, danielleprahl.com, and I am Danielle Prahl on Instagram.
P-R-A-H-L.
Yes.
Okay.
P-R-A-H-L.
And I am at brittanycrystal.com, and it's B-R-I-T-T-A-N-Y and K-R-Y-S-T-L-E, and then Brittany Crystal pretty much everywhere. I made myself really easy to find on the internet. So please stalk me and then check out, well, both of our podcasts, Beyond Influential. You can pretty much find that anywhere podcasts are.
And yep. And Rule Breaker Dream Maker. So mine, I basically talk about the behind the scenes of building businesses and people who have built substantial businesses while still breaking all of the rules and being themselves.
Amazing. And find me on my Instagram at Beauty by Dr. K, doing amazing things with people's faces. Can't wait to have you girls back in the office. And that's
on our podcast.
For sure. I'm coming on your podcast. Yes. That's it for now, ladies. I want you to stay beautiful, stay motivated, find your brand, and be true to yourself. Bye.